I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we've left part of the service out this morning. We didn't go over the memory verse and the confession earlier. That's my fault. We're going to need to do that, Dennis. We haven't yet. Changed the order of service, and I still haven't gotten in the groove of doing that. Is that the slide that's up right now, Dennis? Okay. Good job. All right, so we'll do our memory verse and then confession, and then get into the sermon time. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, if you'd say it with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And then our confession today is one that we are familiar with from 1 Corinthians. It's the first one that we began with when we started doing corporate confessions together as we were working through 1 Corinthians. Let's say it together. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, Dennis, for adjusting on the fly there with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our passage for today, will be verses 18 and 19. I'd like to read it aloud together, and then after that I'd like to share with you a message I've entitled The Ministry of Reconciliation. Verse 18 and 19 reads like this. This is the word of the living God. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is the word of the living God. May He bless His word to our hearts this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious and merciful Father, I come to You in the name of Your Son. Father, we have this important passage before us that is so foundational for us. Lord, it tells us who You are, who we worship, what kind of God You are, what You have done, and what You are continuing to do through Your people. Lord, I pray that this passage would hit us all hard. Lord, that it would have a tremendous impact in our lives today, that we might serve You faithfully, Lord, that we might know You more intimately, and Lord, that we might worship You fully in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today I want to share this message with you, the ministry of reconciliation. It's just too much in this passage to take too many verses at one time. So we are taking just a little bit at a time, working our way through this important chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, particularly verses 12 through 21 that are so impactful. As we look here at verse 18 to begin with, I want to show you the first of 3 points, and it's this. First one is the ministers of the ministry. And the ministry that you saw here at the end of verse 18 is the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the word ministry there is the word that we get deacon from, and it could literally mean to serve tables. So when it's also a word that's used in Romans chapter 13 of governing authorities, that they are ministers. All right, so they are servants of others. And when we see this word here, this word ministry, ministry of reconciliation, he's saying here that God has given us the service of reconciliation. And for the apostles, they were certainly serving others in that way. The church has been called to do that. You think of that, we have the service of reconciliation to an unreconciled world. Okay? And we get to join with God in what He is doing in reconciling the world to Himself. The church is the conduit through which this is taking place. So the first thing in the ministers of the ministry, the reconciled reconcile. We have been reconciled to God. The apostle was reconciled to God. His fellow laborers were reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And then they, therefore, were reconciling others to God through the message of the gospel. Now, I want to go back and address this here for just a moment, because who is it that are the ministers of reconciliation? You go back to verse 17. If you look back there with me again, one, I encourage you to memorize, if you do not have it memorized, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You hear that reference, it ought to come to your mind. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things, and I submitted to you last week that the all things of verse 18 is referencing back to the old things that have passed away and the new things that have come. All right, so all that, the old passing away, the new coming, is of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. So, the ministers of the ministry of reconciliation are those who have been reconciled. Those who have been reconciled are those who are new creations in Christ. And now let's take it one step further, going back. What does it mean to be a new creation in Christ? Go to the previous verse, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. A new creation in Christ does not know Jesus just according to the flesh. There's tons of lost people, a world full of lost people who know the name of Jesus, know something about Jesus. They only know Him according to the flesh. They do not know Him as their spiritual Savior, as their Savior. Not just spiritually, but physically, everything. He is their Savior. They don't know Him that way. And I went over that last week. Now, because we could tend to think, if I'm a new creation in Christ, then I shouldn't really sin the way that I sin anymore. Now, I want to ask you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And just to kind of show you here in this passage, 2 Corinthians 6, as the apostle's going to deal with them about their own sin and the things that they were facing. Let me find the passage exactly. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, he writes to the Corinthians, he says, O Corinthians, we've spoken openly to you, our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He writes to a church here that as new creations, we're not somehow now sinless, but we're still struggling in their sin, and he has to tell them to come out from among them and be separate. He has to tell them to be cleansed from all your filthiness of the flesh and spirit. All right, so if being a new creation in Christ doesn't mean that suddenly we're just living a perfectly sanctified life, what does it mean? It means that, as I submitted to you last week, that everything has changed because of our view of who Jesus is. You view Him rightly, not just according to the flesh, but you view Him truly as the Son of God who died for our sins, who is our wisdom from God. He is our righteousness, our justification, our sanctification. Jesus is all of that for us. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Jesus is the one who saves us before God. Okay? Dennis, I know I'm working you hard this morning. Is there any way you can go to the last slide of the hymn Scandal of Grace that we sang? Very last one. Now, as we were singing this, I thought, wow, that really summarizes pretty good what it means to be a new creation in Christ. So I'm going to read through it. Oh, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you. Now, these last three lines particularly. Forever the hope in my heart. You're the hope in my heart. Jesus, the hope in my heart. Those last three lines speak of the view of a new creation toward Jesus. See, when you view Jesus just according to the flesh, He is not the hope of your heart. When you view Jesus as a new creation, He is the hope in your heart. You have nothing else besides Him. And then that changes everything in our lives. All right? All right. So the reconciled, reconcile. The ministers of the ministry are those who've been reconciled. They are the new creations in Christ. Let's look at the second point from verse 19. And that is this, the meaning of the ministry. We've been given this ministry of reconciliation that we carry on today from the first century church. And I'm going to break this down into three subpoints to hopefully help us to be able to absorb it. So first of all, in verse 19, it says, that is the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry? Well, that is that God was in Christ. The first thing we see here is a divine moving. God was in Christ. When you see the word divine, that basically means it's a God. If it's divine, it's of God. All right? This lets us know that this reconciliation, this becoming friends with God, wasn't something that was our idea, but God was the prime mover. He's the one who looked at the situation and said, all right, I am going to do something. Now, the thing about God is He didn't look at the situation after the fact. He looked at the situation before the fact, because Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. Sin did play into the plan of God, because in the reconciling of His enemies to Himself, God shows His love, mercy, kindness, and grace that is not seen any other way. Okay? The fall happened in Genesis 3. there man, are you awake? Are you listening? Man was plummeted into sin. Our first father, Adam, died. We, like him, are dead in our sins. We needed a Savior, and God sent His Son into the world. You know what John 3:16 says, don't you? For we so loved God that He sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God is the prime mover. It is a divine moving that is part of this reconciliation. But we also see in this passage that it's not only a divine moving, but it's a divine mission. Because there in verse 18, it says, I'm sorry, verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And this world part is the one that you can connect back with Christ died for all. Yes, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's not teaching a universal salvation that ultimately everybody's going to be saved. But what it's saying is, no matter where you go on the face of the earth, any person who hears the gospel and believes, you can be sure Christ died for that person. That Christ has atoned for their sin. He can save them through faith in Him. For we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Anyone who believes does. All right, so here the mission. Here's the mission that God had in Christ. It was to reconcile a rebellious world to Himself. Not folks who were kind of partial toward God. Not folks who were looking for God. But folks who were enemies of God. We were sinners. We were without strength. We could not do it on our own. Would not even have thought to have done it. We were His enemies. We were at enmity. Are y'all familiar with that word enmity? Okay, if you're not, it's a good Bible word. Enmity means we were enemies. We were once at enmity with God, but now we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And who did that? God was doing it in Christ. If you look down, jumping ahead a little bit, you look down at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. Who are we ambassadors for? Who's pleading through us? Who are we reconciled to? God. On whose behalf are we pleading? Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ, spokesmen on Christ's behalf. God's pleading through us. We're proclaiming on behalf of Jesus. Be reconciled to God. See, the reconciled, reconcile. Then we get to take part in this divine mission. You see how it's a great privilege? It's a divine mission. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul calls us fellow laborers with God. We are with God taking His mission into the world for the salvation of the lost. It's this divine mission. But next, let's see divine mercy. And this is the latter part of verse 19. Really, and not at the very end, but just a little ways from it. So we've seen, first of all, the divine moving, and it was God in Christ. The divine mission is God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And then you notice in the next phrase, not imputing their trespasses to them. Your Bible might say not counting. Or I guess some translations might say reckoning. I don't know if the King James says that or not. but it's the imputing. It can be a mathematical term, and it can be to put on someone's account, imputation, imputing, reckoning to someone's account, counting it to their account. Here, this is saying that God, because of our being reconciled to God through Jesus, He's not putting our trespasses on our account. And here's the ultimate situation. When you stand before God in final judgment, in whichever category that you are in, if you stand there as an unbeliever, let me say it that. That's the correct way to say that. If you stand there as an unbeliever, you're going to stand there on that day not with your trespasses on Jesus' account, but they're going to be on yours. And then God's going to look at you with your trespasses on your account, and then you will be judged according to that. Okay? The option is that you stand before God, He looks at you, and He sees the righteousness of Jesus. It's those two options. You either have the righteousness of Christ, or you have your trespasses. And then He's going to judge accordingly. What is a trespass? Let's envision that there's a boundary line, and that line says, in this particular spot, do not lie. It's right here. I'm on this side of the line right now. The line says, do not lie. Well, I just trespassed over onto this side. And when I said a lie, I trespassed what God said. Or maybe the line says, you shall not steal. And then we step over that line and we steal something. Or the Bible says, you shall not covet. We step over that line. We trespass that line. And you see, we've trespassed the law of God, but this passage says for those who are reconciled to God through Jesus that our trespasses are not put on our account. They're not imputed to us. But guess whose account they were put on? Jesus. Why did Jesus die? He died for our what? The first point of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins. What did He die for? My lying, my stealing, my covetousness, my adultery, my murder. That's why Christ died. He didn't die because we were pretty good people and we just needed a little help. He died because we had trespassed the law of God. We desperately needed a Savior. And God, because He is a God who so loved the world that He gave His Son to die in our place. You see, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I talked to y'all a couple weeks ago about evangelical and missiological. Why do we do missions? Why are we evangelical? Why do we preach the gospel? This is why we do it. Because this is God's mission. It is God's mercy. And God moved to save a lost world to bring them to Himself. All right? So we get to take part in that. You know, the message of the gospel always goes, we want it always to go out. Because we realize that even here in our assembly this morning, that there are folks who are not saved. You've never believed in the gospel. You only know Jesus according to the flesh. Today, we invite you to know Him as your Savior, to repent toward God, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be saved from your sins. And what should you do if you have done those things? If God's so given you grace to repent toward Him and to believe, you should enter into the waters of the baptistry, declaring your allegiance and your union with Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. All right, well, that's the divine mercy, mission, and moving of the meaning of the ministry. Now let's go to the last point, the method of the ministry. Here we find this in the last part of verse 19, where it says, and has committed. And the word committed there could be a word that means appointed. All right, so he has committed, or he has appointed to us the word of reconciliation. Well, that word there is logos. Now, it may be actually in the Greek logon, but it's logos. And you may say, what's the big deal about that? If you're familiar with John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the what? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, so is the word that you find there is logos. It is, and that word means the spoken word. Jesus became flesh, being all of who God is. God has revealed himself in what he has spoken. Jesus embodied that, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here, this word, this spoken word of reconciliation has been appointed to us. Have you ever been like with around somebody and it came into your mind, man, I'd really like to share the gospel with them, tell them about Jesus. And then it's like you got these two little, angels on one side, demon on the other, I guess. And one of the angels saying, tell them about Jesus. The demon saying, if you just live really good and you're super nice, I'm sure they're going to start thinking, oh, Jesus is so wonderful. I need to believe in him. So you really don't need to say anything. And then the little angel's saying, no, you need to share the gospel. And then on this side, nah, you don't really. Just be really nice to them. Anybody ever done that? I did. That happened. I don't know about the whole angel and demon thing, okay? But it's in my own mind. And I was sitting there talking to people this week, and I went through that little scenario in my mind. And thankfully, you know, at that time I did share the gospel with them. Told them about how to be saved through Jesus Christ. You see, the ministry of reconciliation is a ministry that is to be verbalized. It is to be spoken. We open our mouths and speak of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it is so encouraging to obey the Lord in those times and do it. Now, I realize that there's some of you who may have never, ever shared the gospel with anyone before. You've thought about it, but then you chickened out. You thought about it, and you weren't obedient. I tell you, just act upon it. Whenever the Lord brings it to your mind, be obedient to the Lord right then. And I tell you, you take that little step. Guess what? You build a little muscle. You're ready a little bit more for the next time. Then you build a little more muscle. You're ready for the next time. And you gain more and more encouragement and boldness as you're obedient one step at a time. It's the word of reconciliation. And listen, folks. Church, this has been committed to us. There is no other organization on the face of the earth that has been given this responsibility. It belongs to the church. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. But it will get done because God is using his church to push forward his mission in the world. And that is that the world can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So we go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. Amen? All right, well, that's all I have for you this morning. I hope you're encouraged to take the gospel. Remember, it's been said that evangelism is really just one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. And that's what we're doing. We're going out into a lost world to preach the gospel so that people can know how they can be reconciled to a holy God. Are you reconciled to him this morning? Do you know Jesus only according to the flesh? Or do you know him as the Son of God who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day? If you don't, but maybe today you've come to realize for the first time that that's who Jesus is, I encourage you, respond to the message of the gospel. There's pastors here who would love to talk to you. Elders would love to talk to you. If you're a child or young person, your parents would love to talk to you about that and to show you more from Scripture what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray that your word would so enliven us today that we would be bold to preach the gospel when we have opportunity to do so. Father, I know that I have chickened out so many times. I thank you for your patience with me. And Father, I pray that I will be more faithful. I pray that we as a church will be faithful with the message of the gospel. And as we go out in our various spheres of influence, Lord, that we would speak the word as you give us open doors to do so. And Father, I pray that we will knock on as many doors as possible, see how many of them open for us. Do our due diligence in that way. Lord, I finally just pray that anyone here who's lost in their sin, I pray open their eyes, Lord, open their heart. Please, God, you have to do it. All things are of God. Lord, you must make the old pass away. The new must come because of your working in our lives. So, Lord, I pray, save the lost among us. In Jesus' name, amen.